guards, no masters, only helpful advice.
It's Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union Representative Justine Sachs.
Kia ora, Justine. Happy New Year.
Kia ora, Rachel. Happy New Year, yeah.
It is very nice to have you back on the show, and we're straight back at it with people's questions about unions and their jobs. This is one that just got texted in. It's, If I work more than 80% for one company, should I be employed by them or be a contractor? They've told me I should be a contractor, even though I basically work 100% for them, really. So what's the deal here?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because there's actually been some recent employment court cases around the nature of contract work versus employment.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a couple of tests now, legal tests, that are on the employment.gov.nz website that you can kind of look at to see if you actually meet the threshold for being a contractor versus an employer.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's basically just around like the intention, like what was the intention when you were contracted or when you were hired, right? Was it to be an employer or a contractor? That's really important. Then it's like the control versus independence. So do you have control over your hours? Do you have control? Let me just go on a second. It's a little bit complicated, but it's really well worth looking over if you are concerned about it. So yeah, do you have control of your hours, where you work, the location you're working? Do you have set hours?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have control over when you're available? Do you have supervision and direction? Those are the kind of questions. So if you're answering yes to that, I would say that it's looking like you're more of an employee than a contractor.
Right.
So you can work 100% as a contractor for one company, but if those legal tests are not met, you know, you would still be a contractor. But however, if, like, as I said, there is, you know, you don't have that independence, there's actually an intention that you're kind of, as you're working as an employee, and you're kind of integrated into the company as well, I would say that then you don't meet that threshold as a contractor. So it's a little bit complicated. Sorry, this answer is a little bit complicated.
I get where you're coming from. Would the community law centre be a good place to maybe go if you wanted to get your facts in order?
Absolutely. And I know that, you know, like, there are a lot of workers who are technically contractors. So we know, like, chorus workers, some people in the hospitality sector, delivery drivers are contractors. But if those actual cases got taken to court, I'm not sure that they would actually meet the threshold.
Okay.
Because, yeah, they are working under the logo and umbrella of a company. So, yeah, definitely go to the Community Law Centre to have a look over that, I would say.
Excellent. Well, I hope that's helped answer some questions there for that person. We've got someone who wants to know about COVID. My flatmate's having a COVID test and my work is saying I should still come in. Do I have any grounds to work from home until she gets her test results?
So this is a really good question. The answer is the advice that people are being given is that they should distance themselves from anyone who has symptoms or has had a COVID test and is awaiting results. So, I mean, I'm not sure how practical that is, but as the idea is that this person should be socially distancing from their roommate. Again, I'm not sure how realistic that is. So you don't technically have any grounds, but I would say that it does seem reasonable and practical that if you're able to work from home while someone is awaiting a test, that you would, especially if they have the symptoms,
mm-hmm.
Or, you know, like all or some of the symptoms. But yeah, no, so the advice given is that your roommate should be keeping a distance from you and anyone else that she lives with, so that you are able to undertake your normal kind of day, especially if you don't have symptoms. But that's a conversation that I think you should, as I said, a reasonable employer, if you're able to work from home easily, the tests don't take a long time to come in. I would say that that is a reasonable thing to ask.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, unfortunately, awesome. No.
Yeah, but it does sound like something you could definitely have a chat with your boss about, because yeah, it's good to be across that stuff anyway. Someone has asked, I had to take annual leave in advance over the break to cover the office shutdown period. Does this mean I owe hours to my work to make up what I took in advance? How does it work?
So annual leave in advance works in the sense of it comes out of your future entitlement for annual leave. So what that means is if you have 4 weeks of annual leave in your contract and you take 5 weeks of leave 1 week in advance, the next year you'll only have 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So it just means that your future leave entitlement would be a bit less next year,
cool,
depending on how much advanced leave you've taken.
Somebody has asked a question that comes up frequently but is always good to answer. How do I know which union to join? I don't think my work's got one. It's just a small business. Is there another one I can join? How do people work out what union they should be with?
Yep, awesome question. I love to answer this question because I can point you directly to the place to check that out. It's the Council of Trade Unions, and on the website they'll have a place where you can figure out who would cover your industry. So unions tend to cover industries, and then they have separate collective agreements at each work site. So that's what I mean when I say, is your workplace unionized? Is there a collective agreement? It's not necessarily to say that there isn't a union that would cover that industry, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a breakdown by industry, and then whether your workplace is unionized or not is whether there's a collective agreement and whether people at that site are members of the union. So go have a look at the CTU website, Council of Trade Unions, and yeah, it breaks it down by industry. And there are also just really general unions. So like ITU is the largest private sector union. They cover quite a diverse array of industries as the largest private sector union. First Union is finance. What does it stand for? Retail and transport. I don't know what the I stands for. Excuse me. So they also cover quite a large section of industry. So yeah, just have a look there, and that should give you some kind of direction of which union would be appropriate for you to join.
Awesome. We've just had one last question come in now, Justine. Someone's asked, hi there. If I was working part-time from home during lockdowns, should my employer have used my annual leave to top my pay up to 100%, leaving my job and have found out I've got no annual leave left?
They should not have done that without talking to you first.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly it was an option to employers to do so, to make sure that you had, you know, a full allotment of pay on top of the wage subsidy. But the fact that they've done that without any agreement or conversation is really not on. I would really query that. Yeah. So there should have been communication, and if it wasn't done without agreement, I would say that they're in kind of murky waters there. That's something I would, if you do have a union rep, I would talk to your union rep, or if not, maybe give the Community Law Centre a ring.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Justine. And to anybody who's wondering about their questions, if we didn't get a chance to get to it, we will ask it next week. So send in new questions, send in, you know, recurring thoughts, and we will ask
Absolutely.
Them all to you next Monday, Justine. Thank you very much. Lovely to have you back on the show.
Yeah, lovely to be back. Okay, kia ora, Rachel.
See ya.
Have a good one.
Bye. Yeah, take that, the man.
Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union representative Justine Sachs.
I hope that.